Good afternoon. I'd like to start by thanking Brenda Ortiz for organizing this symposium. She's doing a great job at Auburn. Very lucky to have her. Very lucky. And also, I'd like to recognize Jeffrey Willers. He'll be the next speaker here. Jeffrey, about 12 years ago or so, got me thinking spatially. And I'm not going to thank him for that, because once you start thinking spatially, it makes life so much more complex. It's much easier if everything in those small plots is the same, right? All right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about cotton today. Cotton in Arkansas. So this is the view going into Arkansas, crossing our Mississippi River down across from Memphis. And I work in the northeast part of Arkansas. About 60% of the cotton in the state is in the northeast portion. So it's Arkansas. Just go down this river that's right here in Minneapolis and stop after two states. Those red pixels around there, and you see in the High Plains of Texas, that's cotton. And we don't have as many pixels as we used to in Arkansas. And in the Mid-South, production of cotton acreage is declining. And in the last 10 years, we've gone from over 1 million acres to less than 200,000 acres in cotton. The reasons for that are low commodity prices for cotton and high production costs. So global competition is, and I can't really do anything about that as a researcher, but high production costs. How can we help our producers bring these costs down and use spatial technology, site-specific management, actually bring that to the farm to help them control their costs? That's something that I'm working on now. So my talk today is about zone management approaches and IPM of tartar plant bug. I'd like to recognize my co-author, Keith Morris. He's an ag engineer at Arkansas State, and it's been wonderful having him at ASU. He works with me in GIS, and he's a teacher and just a terrific guy. So from a practical standpoint, zone management, from an insect management standpoint, this is the way I think about this pretty simply, talking to producers. We want to protect susceptible plants, but we don't want to waste money on inputs where either the plants aren't susceptible or the pest numbers are low and they don't pose an economic risk, or all of the above. Now, that's presented pretty simply, but there's spatial and temporal changes associated with these. And the when and where questions of when is the plant susceptible, when it's not, when are the bugs there, when are they not. And if we want our producers to use site-specific management in pest management, then we've got to give them good guidelines, simple guidelines. And that two-word answer that they get very, very it's no longer acceptable in many cases. The two words are "it depends." They want rules, and they want to be able to follow those. So the insect that I'm working on right now is the tarnished plant bug, Lygus linearis. It's a prolificus species, many plant hosts. If it's green, this guy will eat it. It's a major pest of canola in Canada and all the way down into the Mid-South in cotton. Our agronomic crops in the Mid-South, it's a host for them, but it only causes economic damage in cotton. It's a full-season pest, eats floral buds, which we call squares, cotton squares, and the fruit. It'll go up to fruit, which we call bowls. So when they feed on small floral buds, they'll shed, and even small bowls, the entry hole that they make, it may not cause the bowl to shed, but that's an entryway for pathogens, and it could go on to get bowl rot and lose the value of that piece of fruit. Oh, this is me out standing in my field. And one thing about cotton, and producers in general, it doesn't matter the crop, producers remember disasters. And we have a long history of insect-related disasters associated with cotton production, from the introduction of the boll weevil in the late 1890s to now. And this, when a producer thinks about insects in cotton in the Mid-South, this is what they think about. And they're very risk averse. This is a non-BT cotton. It's about 4 years ago in Mariana, which is the central part of Arkansas on our east coast, along in the Delta. This is non-BT cotton, and it's not. It's a susceptible line to tarnished plant bug. the same small plot just adjacent to this. This is a BT line that was resistant to tarnished plant bug, and zero insecticides on this. So, but, you know, as an IPM practitioner, this is what I think about is good IPM. I don't have to spray, but go back. This is what producers think about. And most of the people that I'm surrounded by, and this glass half empty approach to pest management, to pest control is one that they follow. So as I talk about the rest of this talk, remember that this is the image that a producer has, and he's got plenty of reinforcement all around him of people that are much better marketing people than me, reminding him that this could happen. So here's those words again. It depends. I'm doing a lot of some of the most fun things, research that I've ever done in cotton. I've been doing it a long time. Is now I'm thinking about these spatial and temporal changes of this tarnished plant bug moving into the crop, and looking at landscape effects, and then within field variability associated with soils. And it's very exciting. This little 35-acre field, that map, that yellow map there. No, there it is. That's a soil EC map of that. And the plants are very different in this field associated with those soils. And they're different levels of the attractiveness to the tarnished plant bug. They're susceptible at different times of the season because of those soils. Very exciting. And then this landscape associated around with that field, that's a huge wildlife park there, area right there next to that. And that little finger that's coming down there, that's like an interstate highway for tarnished plant bug moving into my field. It's so exciting. So these are things we have to think about, but I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about a little bit more about within field variability and a little more black and white answers about. So get as an insect ecologist, that's really great from an academic standpoint. But I want to try to help these producers reduce their costs. We got to get to some more black and white. So, but within field stuff, I am working on that too, and it's so exciting. And looking at how these plant health changes across a variable field, that's yield maps, and we're doing the. And pretty soon, I think we'll have prescriptions for this, but not yet. We're not ready yet on that. So where do we have some more bulletproof suggestions on where we could use pest management rules for cotton? It's when to quit. We've been doing this in Arkansas since the research started on it in 1980. And for decades, we've been doing this. We've had validation studies about when to quit. We can identify the last effective boll population. Remember, cotton is a perennial plant. It keeps growing indeterminate growth. So it can just kind of grows crazy on you. But we have plant monitoring techniques that we can use to identify the last bolls that are going to make a producer money. If we know when we reach cutout, that's the flowering date of those last effective bolls, we can use plant monitoring. We count nodes above white flower. And in Arkansas and in the Mid-South, when we reach node above white flower 5, we say that's the flowering date of the last effective boll population. Then we start accumulating heat units. So we say that these last bolls are going to make you money. These are at this different maturity. So we know when to quit. And our rule for tarnished plant bug is when you reach physiological cutout, plus 250 heat units, you can quit spraying insecticides for new populations of plant bugs. We know this. We put out validation studies every year, large-scale ones, to reassure ourselves that this is a good rule, a good decision rule. So how can we use this rule that we have confidence about? It's not like it depends. We know this is a good guideline, very, very confident about this. How can we use this in precision site-specific way? So I propose the zone termination, so where we only protect those susceptible plants, but we don't waste our insecticides on plants that reach that end point for crop susceptibility. So there's our black and white answer on when to quit. Quit spraying when the plants are no longer susceptible. So we count our bugs. This is a drop cloth, and you look for bugs on there season long. We do georeference sampling of the plants, and these are big center pivot fields. And even though we have irrigation under the pivot that the edges of the field are not. And so we can get some differences in maturity. So we use an expert system called Kottman. That's our method for keeping up with plant monitoring data and monitor inside and outside the zone. So we have, this is an old NDVI image of a pivot field. This is 160 acres of cotton, and this was a dry year, and the edges of the field were kind of low vigor, and the middles were green. And so we'd say you'd quit spraying in the low zones and still spray in these if you had an infestation level. But I made this suggestion in 2004. We didn't implement it, kept moving forward. And so now I'm doing this on large fields. I started this in 2012 on validating this. And I like this idea of management zones. I think it's a good step forward. Doesn't require fancy sensors. And we've got large predictable patterns of zones. And done this research since 2012 on looking at the feasibility of this, when to quit in these large fields. Simple system. This is I've got these are written up in the Beltwide proceedings, more details than you would ever want on these experiments. Broadcast zone, a zone approach, and then untreated check. And we'd make the sprays with insecticide. And we'd document the growth of the plants. I won't go into detail on these. Lots and lots of detailed information on how old our bulls were, whether the bugs are present or not, whether we killed them. Yes, we killed them. Let them go or we didn't. And here's the bottom line on our yields. Took our yields with yield monitor data. 2012, we had a dry year, so those red zones on the corner, they were low yielding. And then 2013 and 2014, so more rainy. And so let's look at the yields. In 2012, no differences in my spray treatments, but there was a difference between the corners of the fields and irrigated. But this is it. No difference. No differences among spray treatments. But we had a 14% reduction in spray cost when we used a zone approach. And I think this is a very simple step forward. And it's one I think that will make sense to producers so we can start to use site-specific pest management. I think our producers have this equipment, and they just need rules. And this is one we can step forward. It's very practical. So this is one where we know when to quit, and we need to use that information. Thank you. That's my last slide. It's part of Cotton Incorporated Sustainability Project. I have some wonderful farmer cooperators and crop advisors, and then would like to recognize my program technicians who've done most of the work on there. Amanda Mann is one of those, and I thank her too. So appreciate your attention. Since that date that we defined, the flowering date of the last population of bulls that are going to make you money, the last effective bulls. So we monitor the plant, and from that date that we determined cutout, when we reached node above white flower 5, that's when we start accumulating heat units. So that's why we have to monitor the plant to know when we reach that date, that flowering date. Nodes above white flower 5. Since the last effective flowering date. So we count those. Your first note above white flower will be 9 or 10, and then it's reduced over weeks. We may have a 2 to 3 to 4 week period of flowering, effective flowering. It's a perennial plant. It makes it tough. A lot of trouble to figure out what your last effective bulls are. Yeah. I would assume that they can make their map in the middle of winter because they know where their pivots are, and that most crop advisors are keeping up with their nodes above white flower, so they know when to quit their entire field. But I propose that they have two zones now, just instead of one, so they keep two counts of data. It's not hard, but it'll save some money. Thank you.
Let's thank Mina for helping me.